I want to invite you to open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to share just a few thoughts from it this morning. I do appreciate the presence of those who are here. And as said, we've got a number who are out sick, and we have probably some that, because of the fears of what the roads might turn into, may not be with us. But I'm glad that you are here, and I'm not sure if Daryl said it and I missed it, but if you're visiting with us, we will not be meeting at our normal 5 o'clock tonight. But Lord willing, next week we'll be back at 5 o'clock. And hopefully weather and everything will cooperate. We'll be able to be together Wednesday night at 7. And for those in auditorium class, I'll just say this. We will cover all we can of the lesson on the Psalms of Sadness. We may not get Psalm 90 in there, but we'll do what we can. 1 Corinthians 10 is an interesting context to me because it's in the middle of one great section. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 8, going to the end of chapter 10, Paul is writing about a problem that we probably never have to face. The problem of meats offered to idols. How are you supposed to deal with that? How are you supposed to respond to that? I think one of the beauties, one of the proofs almost of inspiration, is the fact that dealing with specific issues of a time that we will never face ourselves, he sets forth principles that will have application for centuries to come. The things that are said in how they were to deal with meats offered to idols, they have good application to so many things today. And I want to just look at a short section of that. Let me tell you what, though he does in the 8th chapter, he primarily focuses on you be concerned for others. How are your actions in regard to these things going to impact others? You don't want to be a stumbling block. He said, I'd rather give up meat than be a stumbling block. And it's almost as if somebody says, yes, sure you would. And so in the 9th chapter, he starts off saying, look, I've given up, my wages. I've given up the right to take around about a believing wife. I've given up rights myself. So when I tell you, be willing to give up some things, I'm not asking you to do anything I haven't done. And then toward the end of the 9th chapter, he begins to transition. Not just to say, well, you ought to be concerned about the impact on others. He said, you ought to be thinking about yourself too. Maybe this is going to impact you and cause you to stumble. And he speaks at the end of the 9th chapter of how that when you run the race, you've got to run with discipline. You've got to make certain that you are not disqualified. And with that, read with me the first 13 verses of chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He begins by using the picture of Israel passing through the Red Sea with the wall of water on each side, the cloud over them, as though it were a baptism into Moses. That they were, and of course the idea is, he's writing to people who've been baptized into Christ. And he says, these folks, they had a baptism of theirs. They had spiritual food and spiritual drink, just as you do. But you know the story of them. With most of them, God was not well pleased. We know that of the males over 20 and above that left Egypt, only two entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The rest perished in the wilderness. And I want us to notice, he says, verse 6, these things became our examples. We're to learn from this. The specifics are important. Today, I'm not going to spend much time on those. But he named some of the things they did, and this is not the exhaustive list. You could back up to the sixth chapter, and you find other sins listed. Things that'll keep you out of heaven. But he said, be careful. You be careful. You know, I'm saying, don't be a stumbling block to others. I'm also saying you better look at yourself. You don't want to be the one that is an idolater, sexually immoral. You don't want to be the one that tempts Christ, the one that complains. The key takeaways I want to give you today is don't go to either of two extremes. He says, take heed lest you fall. We need to be aware that we can be blessed, and we are, with all these great things in Christ. All these wonderful privileges, and you know, we've got the forgiveness of our sins. We've got the worship that helps us to draw near to God. Each week we come together, we receive instruction in God's Word. We receive the edification, the exhortation of our brethren. And we've got so much going for us. And yet, if we're not careful, we can be those people who fall. We can come up short. It happened to Israel. It's happened to so many through the years. And that, what he says in verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In the 8th chapter, he had spoken of how knowledge, it can puff up. We can become proud and think it can never happen to me. Don't have that mentality. Don't have the spirit that says, it would never happen to me. Be on guard. Always. Always. But also, I don't want us to have a defeatist kind of attitude. You know, that somebody says, well, you know, there were 603,550 of those soldiers, and only two made it into the land of Canaan. So, boy, my chances are not very good, are they? You know, that's not the point. For look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We don't have to fall. And I would say, going back to Israel, I think it's a mistaken assumption to believe that all of those who didn't enter the promised land were eternally lost. The death sentence was pronounced in Numbers 14, 15 when they failed to believe God there. Is their eternal fate was, you know, at hand. They had opportunity to repent. You know, Moses would not be allowed to enter the promised land because of a later sin. That doesn't mean Moses was eternally lost. You know, but the point I want us to get here is we are in danger, but falling away is not inevitable. God is faithful. God is on our side. God wants us to be victorious. If we will take heed, we don't have to fall. We can be on, you know, 1 Peter 5, he talks about how the devil is like the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, is there any hope? Yeah. He says, resist him. You can resist. You can resist the devil and he will flee from you, James says. Be on guard and you can enter into this promised land. Like Israel, the great majority here this morning, the majority that are listening, you know, at home, have had that baptism into Christ, have these spiritual blessings, and are in danger of falling unless they take heed. And that's my admonition this morning. Take heed. Listen to the warnings. Be serious about this. The devil is out there. Temptations abound, but they can be resisted. We can enjoy that heavenly reward. Please think on that. Think about that. Again, there are specifics here. There are other specifics in chapter 6, Romans 1, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4 and 5, numerous passages. Recognize your danger point and realize that with God's help, you can overcome that temptation. You can win the victory. You know, I look at those spies that came back. There were 12 of them. All 12 saw the same things. They saw fortified cities. They saw people like that were giants. Why were Joshua and Caleb different? Joshua and Caleb had their eyes on God. They had faith. We're going to see a lot of things that would pull us away, that would distract us, that would keep us from thinking we can enter that promised land. But be like Joshua and Caleb. Have that kind of faith. This morning, as we close, have you had that baptism into Christ? The lesson I had intended to use this morning was going to be from the time period of the Exodus. I want you to think about the bondage of sin. The only escape for Israel was through the Red Sea, that baptism into Moses. The only escape from the bondage of sin is through the baptism into Christ. And if you've not had that, I hope you will let us know. And we will this day take care of that. Baptize you into Christ. And as the Psalm 51 said, you will be washed. You will be whiter than snow. If we can help you, come as we stand and sing together.